The Lord has done great things for us. This morning I've entitled this sermon, The Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. In our gospel story today, we encounter Bartimaeus, a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road. There's a number of things unique about him, and I learned a great deal about him when I was creating the sermon this morning. First of all, he's a very unlikely disciple. His desperation as a blind beggar reminds us somewhat of the hemorrhaging woman, this long-term suffering and exclusion from society bring a profound desperation of need. As in her story, the people close to Jesus are discouraging him from getting close to Jesus. They don't want Bartimaeus close to Jesus. They're shooing him away. This would be the insiders. This would be the disciples, the ones that follow Jesus so closely. Why is this? Is it an effort to protect Jesus from being overwhelmed? Or perhaps maybe they don't want the stigma of this blind man to be associated with Jesus so that they would be negatively projected upon as they go on their way. We don't really know the answer, my friends. But unlike the wealthy man from a few weeks back, remember, he couldn't give away all the goods that he had. He just couldn't part with them. The material treasures to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus is different here. He's portrayed as a model of Christian discipleship as he casts away his cloak and throws it aside, which is probably his most treasured item and possession. In this act of throwing off his cloak, we see the image, metaphorically, of one who leaves his former life behind. This should give us a pause to really consider where we might fall in as followers of Jesus, checking in on our behavior of judgment and prejudice and assumption and also neglect. If one can take the time to move into that scene as a scripture passage and sit in silence, perhaps as Bartimaeus or Jesus or one of the crowd, in silence, there might be some things that come to us that are really quite revealing about where we need to do some of our spiritual work. Well, he's also an outsider and one of the marginalized, but he has this insight knowledge that the disciples don't even have. So how do we know this? How can we decipher this from our reading this morning? Well, the blind man uses several different titles for Jesus. One is Jesus of Nazareth, another, Son of David, and the third, Rabboni, which is used as a title of honor. That's quite insightful. This points to his familiarity with Jesus, his lineage, and Jesus' name, and it's really quite astounding from one who is so desperately in need. Whether it's conscious to Bartimaeus or not, he will join the throngs of those who will join the upcoming procession on the way, who will welcome Jesus with the words, "Blessed is the kingdom of our ancestor David." And the disciples themselves do not even have this insight that Bartimaeus does as a blind man, to actually see and comprehend who Jesus is. Thirdly, his prayer to Jesus has left a lasting spiritual legacy in an ancient mystical prayer well known by Eastern Christians, and it's been in use since the time of the apostles. This goes way back, and this prayer is called the Jesus Prayer. It's been spoken to men and to women of all races, beliefs, creeds, who seek to experience God. And it was taught to me in the year 2003 and was left dormant for 6 years without me even being conscious of it until it inserted itself back into my life during a traumatic event. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. the Jesus Prayer. In the Eastern tradition, Christian tradition, union with God is the goal for everyone. The purpose of this life is to be totally saturated with the life of Christ from which everything flows. The idea that God will fill people with his Son's life and that they will accomplish his work in the world is very different than what we often know as people setting out to do things for God under their own steam, which can lead to failure and disappointment, sometimes conflict, and even wasted effort. The persistence of Bartimaeus sets in motion a wave of mercy, blessing, and change. Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus for mercy. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus then calls him. Jesus calls Bartimaeus. But he doesn't call him directly. He calls him through the crowds who have just separated him away from Jesus. They then exclaim, "Take heart. Get up. He's calling you." In this way, then, both Bartimaeus and the crowd have a conversion experience. The physical sight is restored along the spiritual sight, and all are redirected towards assimilating the presence of God through Jesus. This process of assimilating the presence of God is known by a Greek term called theosis. Theosis meaning God. And it's like a cloth soaking up water by osmosis. I know in a retreat that I was in one time, we talk about this prayer a lot. It's very much like the little fish swimming through the sea looking for water, or the starfish looking for the ocean. But we are saturated with God through theosis. And the indwelling presence heals, restores, and completes us, and prepares us each to take a role in his kingdom that we alone can fill. While the call of Jesus breaks their hearts wide open. In this way, then, a call is really never to an individual, but to a community. Those who once enjoined him not to bother Jesus of Nazareth are now transformed. They're no longer speaking sternly to him, and they become, in fact, witnesses and vessels of this mercy. Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Jesus doesn't assume the obvious, but Bartimaeus does remark, "Let me see again." So this restoration, as we've seen, has been immediate, and he immediately becomes one of Jesus' followers. Progress for us humans in theosis is a gift from God, and it's not won by any effort. However, you can make yourself available to such a blessing by practicing this prayer as a spiritual practice. In my own life, like I said, this prayer came into my presence, and it was unsought, and it was unearned, after it was taught to me 6 years prior by my spiritual mentor. Often it's taught one-to-one. You just talk to a person and teach them the prayer of 9 words. By that I mean, I was what I call myself an accidental tourist, and as such, I'm standing in front of you today. Without this prayer experience, I would not be here. And I was in great confusion and trauma, and therefore had to search out its meaning by a well-known wisdom mentor figure. The story is reflected in a piece that I was asked to create about my story, and I entitled it The Jesus Prayer, Laboratory Notes from an Accidental Tourist. It really is a personal spiritual autobiography, and it's way too lengthy to go into here on a Sunday sermon, but it is a profound story of personal transformation that today, because I prepared this sermon, I think I can largely credit Bartimaeus with. So at first, when we practice the prayer, It's just a string of words that repeat, nine words, mechanically in the mind. Some people want to learn how to pray. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Say it in the grocery store. Say it when you're driving. Say it when you're moving through a winter snowstorm. Say it when you're waiting in a line. So it's mechanical, and we just say it by rote, over and over again. With time and practice, it may descend to the heart. And as it does, and if it does, there's a call to be attentive to it, to maintain it continually, thereby bringing the heart mind down into the heart. So this prayer, which was treasured in Christian tradition more than 1,500 years ago, became only translated in Europe into Western Christianity in 1925, giving Western Christianity its first encounter from its origins back by the desert mothers and fathers from the apostles who were in the time of Jesus. Hence, prayer of the heart refers to the action of the prayer itself, something that occurs within the person by God's grace and not by mechanical or intentional means. In my most weakened hour of loss and suffering, and to my ignorant and foolish resistance, this prayer broke through to my heart, which I continually profess was unsought. The prayer became the energizing force of God's love to this person who ceased to function while standing in front of her house as it was burning down. I could not function. I was only able to focus and function if I could relax and let this prayer run its course by itself in my being. I really tried to shoo it away like a song you can't get out of your head. I did. But then I realized I played with it for a while. So I became an observer of myself outside of myself and thought, wow, it must be here for some reason. And when I realized that, if I could just relax and let the prayer run over and over and over again, I could start to function in 1 minute increments. I could start to function in 5 minute increments. But if I let the prayer go, I would just collapse back into a panic attack. None of my family, my husband, nobody knew this was going on, and I was very confused, to say the least. But in all of this narration, and quite an interesting story, I wish to conclude to say that as God is in all of creation, he's in all of us. And he is embodied in the particularities of all of our human situations in which we find ourselves. As Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What can I do for you?" Jesus asks us the same as a church, as Christ Church. Christ Church, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks this. And our focus and attentiveness together on this question is the seedbed of the future here. Our response together becomes our faith, our wholeness, and our discipleship. Rabboni, let us see. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.